Historical Society, March 14th, 1976. This is Joseph Eustace, President of the Waseca County Historical Society. This tape will be in the archives for future use. We are honoring the Irish today and trust that 100 years from now someone might be interested enough to play this tape back. At this time I'm going to interview Bob Connors, who I understand is president of the of what, Bob?
The Irish American Club of Southern Minnesota.
Irish American Club of Minnesota. Tell us a little bit about what went on yesterday.
Well, we had our annual St. Patrick's Day celebration yesterday, and we had a 11 o'clock mass at Sacred Heart Church. It was attended by over 400 people, and at that time we crowned Mr. and Mrs. Emerald Isle, who is the oldest married couple that registered for the event, and they were Mr. and Mrs. Carl Wheeler, who lived in Waseca during the 30s and early 40s. In fact, they were born and raised in Waseca, and they had a combined age of 157 years old. So they were the oldest couple that registered for the event. And then after the mass and the crowning of the Mr. and Mrs. Emerald Isle, we had an Irish stew in the basement and served over 400 people there. And then we had a parade through Main Street in Waseca and stopped at the courthouse for a flag-raising ceremony where we had the American flag, the bicentennial flag, and the Irish flag flying on the flagpole at the courthouse. From there, we went to the middle school and had a two-hour program that we had Irish entertainment and song and dance, and just a fun time. And then at 5:30, we had a dinner and dance at the Legion Club. That was, we served over 300 people at the dinner, and then the hall was full, and we danced till 1 o'clock.
Everybody behaved, Bob?
Very well. We had a real good turnout, and everybody behaved, wasn't a bit of trouble. Although I heard a couple picked up traffic tickets leaving town.
Very, they must have been the Germans.
They were the people from Lee Center, I guess.
Yeah, I see. Well, Bob, thanks a lot. This will go into the archives here, and we hope that in 100 years from now when they open it, they'll know what went on during your and my lifetime, and I sure appreciate it.
Thank you, Pat.
We're speaking with Pat Thiessen, who is a past president of the Irish American Club at Waseca, and I understand the originator of it. Pat, what did you think about your celebration yesterday? I talked to President Connors, and he's told me a little about it. This particular recording will go into our archives here with the notice to be opened 100 years from now, so let's have your version of it, Pat.
Well, this is... Yesterday's celebration was the greatest one we've had up to date. It was beautiful, and we come here today to do something. I don't know what we can do. We've done practically everything yesterday.
Well, Pat, our idea of this was to, because of the centennial, bicentennial, we thought we should honor the various ethnic groups, and we plan on holding one for the Scandinavians on Seton de Mai, which is their 17th of May, and Oktoberfest for the Germans. We're going to, and this was our reason in asking you down, because we felt that we should recognize a bicentennial year.
Well, that's very, very nice of you, Joe, and we're very happy to be here. And I hope we can do something Irish for you today. As I said, we did everything possible that the Irish could do yesterday, but we'll try to get a little in today, too.
Well, I hear you have a pretty nice voice for Irish songs, so I hope you'll render one of them for it.
It's not too good today.
Thank you, Pat. I'm now going to speak with Art McDonough, who I understand is one of the past presidents of the Irish American Club here at Waseca. Art, how do you feel today?
Well, real fine, Joe. Real fine.
You vouch for that?
Yeah, I'll vouch for that.
Fine.
My wife will vouch for that.
Fine.
I'm sorry that the club's burning down. I don't know what's happened there, but was certainly a lot of smoke. I hope there wasn't a few Irishmen left back there in the backstage someplace.
You don't think they were trying to tell you anything about contamination or anything?
Well, I'm kind of thinking about that, Joe, because I'll tell you, a few years ago, it wasn't too far from our deal when the hotel burned down, and we used to have all our festivities in there, and it seems like the theater, we used to go there, and gee, that burned down. I don't know what to think of this thing yet.
You probably have a tough time, Art, finding a place to hold your celebration next year.
Well, we're having a tough time, really, Joe, because we don't have any place big enough now. This has grown so that every place we go is full to the brim. The church basement at the brunch is 600 people, and we got room for three. And the Legion Club, I suppose, can probably hold 300 people, and we have six. But it's wonderful.
I understand it's second in size only to St. Paul, or is this...
That's right.
And that's quite
right,
an
Joe.
Accomplishment. You that's fellows right. have done a tremendous job. One thing I'd like to say, Art, is that at one time I was sure I was a member, but I've never received any notice of dues or anything, so perhaps you
Hi,
can check
you?
Up on
I'll
that.
I'll certainly take care of that, right. Joe. We need all the members we can get. Thank
Art,
you.
It was good talking to you.
Thank you, Joe. Very nice talking to you.
I'm now going to interview Mrs. Clinton Whiting. Her maiden name was Mary O'Flaherty, which allows her to be a member of the Irish clan. Mary, did you get to see the parade yesterday?
No, Joe, I'm sorry I didn't. We weren't in town.
You were gone.
I was gone, so I didn't get to see the parade.
I might tell you that this tape, particular tape, will go into the archives here, along with the registration book of all of the those of Irish descent here, and it will be marked open 100 years from now, so it'll be quite interesting. They can tell just exactly what you wild Irishmen did on St. Patrick's Day.
You think they'll be able to?
I hope so. Mary, thanks so much.
You're very welcome, Joe. It was good to talk to you.
Maggie Margaret Barden, formerly maiden name Maggie Cahill. What did you think of the celebration yesterday, the American Irish Club?
Oh, of course, I love every bit of it.
Did you have a good time?
Oh, yes.
Do you feel pretty good today?
Surprisingly, I do.
I understand from Bob Connors you had some over 400 for the dinner.
Well, between 300 and 400 probably for the dinner.
That's tremendous. It increases every year.
Seems to.
Well, I understand you did a lot of work on bringing some of the data, and I noticed the newspaper column where you had written up some history from Childs on the various Irish families. Is that you?
Yes. All I really did is go through the Childs history and the Waseca and Steele County history, you know. I don't believe any of that was... It hasn't been published yet. Probably it will be just the Childs history things that I... Lawrence Gallagher ran them off on a copy machine for me.
Well, it was well done. And we were especially thrilled with the paper that you put out.
Yes, Pat Thiessen puts out that paper, and he does a wonderful job every year.
It was well done, yes. We'll also put that in the archives along with this so that 100 years from now we're going to note that we hope they'll open it and know just what went on.
I think I was just saying to someone, I think I'll make them a green cap like I've made for Bob and the boys, and you can put that in the archives too. 50 years from now, that'll be fun to look at.
Well, you bet it will. Well, we'd appreciate having one, and we will put it in. You do beautiful work. Anything that looked good on that big Irishman there has got to be.
Some of the work is pretty fast, you know. All these Irishmen are so good looking, but they look good on all of them anyway.
Well, thank you.
You bet, Joe.
On behalf of the Waseca County Historical Society, I'd like to welcome all you nice Irish today, as well as you people of various ethnic groups. We're happy that you could all be here. It was our way of paying respects and due credit to the various ethnic groups that comprise Waseca County And we know of the many, many contributions that the Irish have made in Waseca, the city of Waseca, the county of Waseca, the state of Minnesota, as well as the U.S. We plan on holding two more of such days to honor various ethnic groups. Now, at this time, I'd like to turn this over to James O'Regan, who has done a lot of work and has served as our chairman. And at this time, James, would you come up and take over, please? We picked a good Irishman for the chairmanship.
I won't do it without my cohort.
It's running.
Okay, thank you.
It's kind of a high step up here.
As Joe mentioned, we plan on doing this as part of the bicentennial year, and we'd like to salute the different ethnic groups in the community. We've picked the Centamine date in May for the Scandinavians and the Oktoberfest in October. But I guess, first of all, I just want to say that I'm proud to be Irish, and I can't say enough about what I've seen the Irish-American group do in the southern part of this state. And when Joe said I put a lot of work into it, I really didn't, because it was a matter of calling Bob Connors, Pat Thiessen, and Art McDonough, and they've done most of the work, and later the program is going to be turned over to them. But I'd like to have Hannah just say a few words, and then we'd like to call on Dorothy Foster for a special presentation. Hannah?
Well, I really didn't do very much at all. I just agreed to come along with Jim, and it's been real fun to know that we have so many Irish people around here. And he asked me to tell a joke or two, and I said, well, the only ones I know are about either drunks or old maids. So,
she's telling the truth, too.
Well, I don't know if he wants me to tell one now not, but
sure
you probably have heard this one. I get most of mine over WCCO in the morning. They tell the real good ones early in the morning. And all the years that I had to teach, then I used to wake up about 5, and they were on from 5 to 6, so that's really where I got most of mine. But you probably have heard this one about the band that had been to an auction, and he was so fascinated with this grandfather clock that he decided that that was for him. So on his way home, he didn't have any way to get it home, only to carry it. So he was going along, and in the distance, he saw a drunk coming towards him. So he just was pretty sure he'd try to avoid him if he could. Well, of course, he didn't. The drunk bumped into him, and he fell down, and the clock fell beside him. And so he said to this drunk, he said, well, why don't you look and see where you're going? And he said, why don't you wear a wristwatch? And then there was another one about a man was driving along in his car, and he was alone, and he looked through the mirror in the back, and he saw this man coming behind him. He was just weaving back and forth on the road. And he knew that he wasn't going to be very safe, and he thought, well, I was so glad that I'm ahead of him, because at least I know I'm not going to hit him, or he's not going to hit me. So in the meantime, he was looking in his mirror and watching, and he went off the road himself and tipped over. And pretty soon the drunk caught up to him in his car, and he got out, and he said to him, did you get hurt? No, he said, I didn't get hurt. And he said, well, how come? Oh, anybody that had that kind of an accident must have gotten hurt. He said, no, because God was with me. And he said, oh, you better let him ride with me. You'll kill him. Now I got to tell you the one about the old maid. There was an old maid, and oh, she just couldn't sleep at all. She lived by the beach, and she decided that she would go out for a walk. And it was midnight, and she was walking along in the moonlight, and all at once a fellow came up behind her, and he squeezed her, and he said, give me your money. She didn't pay any attention at all, and he squeezed her again. He said, give me your money. And she said, I'll write you a check tomorrow. Keep right on. Oh, this is really true. Some years ago when I was still teaching, and it was in the fall, and there was a lady with two little kids moved in next door. And so I was raking leaves, and he came along. He was about 8 years old, and he said, "Can I help you?" And I said, "Sure. I'd be glad to have help." So he raked a while, and he said, "Did you mow the lawn this summer?" "Yeah." He said, "How come that your husband didn't do that?" "Well," I said, "I don't have one." "Well, why not?" And I said, "Oh, I haven't had time. I've just been too busy." So he looked at me, and he said, "Well," he said, "you're kind of old anyhow to get married." I said, "Oh, do you think so?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "The lady downstairs is 62. You don't look quite that old." So that went on all right. And in the fall, I was washing my car one day, and I had my dad's rubbers on. And he came over, and he said, "Oh, you got your husband's rubbers on." "No," he said, "you don't have one. You said that you didn't have time to find one." And I said, "That's right." And he said, "Well, you're home weekends. Why don't you look around then?"
I'm now speaking to Marjorie Friedel, Mrs. Joseph Friedel, formerly Marjorie Moonen. And Marjorie, your grandfather was John Moonen?
Yes.
Am I right there?
Yeah, John Moonen.
And your father was?
Joseph Moonen.
Joseph Moonen. And your uncle?
Raymond Moonen.
And they were in the law business?
Yes, Moonen and Moonen.
And your husband also?
Was an attorney.
An attorney.
Yes.
And you also have, who else in your family that's attorney?
Well, John Walbrand, my brother, my sister Mary, my sister Joan, who is now a judge in Columbia, Missouri. I have to stop and think. Mary has three sons who are attorneys, and two daughters married to attorneys.
My goodness, that's quite a record, isn't it?
My sister Dorothy is married to an attorney. Francis is married to an attorney who's a probate judge in Owatonna.
So it's sort of a family
affair. It's a family affair.
Well,
the first Moonen, Patrick, was not an attorney. His son read law. That was in the days you didn't go to law school. Mm-hmm. You read law in another attorney's office.
Mm-hmm. Patrick was what? A farmer? Or?
Yeah, well, he settled on a farm in, I think it was Iosco Township, but he only stayed there a few years. And then he had a hotel in Janesville.
Yes.
And from there he came to Waseca and built a hotel called the Sheridan House, which later was known as the Waverly Hotel.
And you brought a scrapbook here.
Well, it was the original hotel register of the hotel.
Oh, yes. It was very interesting, wasn't it, the names that were in it. Well, Marjorie, we especially wanted to have you on here, being the granddaughter of one of the early settlers and being Irish at... But I guess you are part German, too, aren't you?
There's a little German there.
Yes, well, we won't talk about that. Well, thank you so much, Marjorie.
Right. You're welcome.
She's just as Irish as I am. Because I'm a Cahill, and Hogan, and Conway, and Norton. And they all came from different parts of Ireland, so I can't get away from it. But thank you very much for the flowers.
You're welcome. Well, thank you for what you've done. Appreciate it very much.
As Joe mentioned, too, in parting, I just want to thank everyone for coming, and we really appreciate your coming out. At this time, I'd like to turn the program over to Bob Connors, Art McDonough, and I see Pat left. I hope he's coming back. But these gentlemen will provide a little program for you, and when they're done, we want you to help yourself to coffee, and there's some good German cookies from downtown. Help yourself to them. And again, thank you for coming, and Bob and Pat and Art, do you want to come up? Do I just take that and pass it along? It's all set. It's all running, yeah.
I think these fellows deserve a big round of applause for what they've done.
Pat, come on up here. Well, I'm the president of the Irish American Club, and Pat and Art are both past presidents. But I think everybody that's Irish is proud to be Irish, because the Irish have contributed a great deal to our country. Recently, I read an article that stated that a good many of the troops in the army at the time of the Revolution were Irish. And the British have been dominating Ireland for many centuries. And during this time, they've treated the Irish people very unfairly. So when the Irish got to America during the colonial days, they really hated the British. And when the opportunity came to join the Revolutionary Army, they all joined and really fought. And it there were so many Irish in the army that Washington had learned to speak Gaelic so he could talk to them. Well, now, I went up to the plaque in front of the courthouse and I counted the names on it for the Civil War, and over 25% of the names were Irish names. There were probably other people who were part Irish on there. And during the Spanish-American War, over 25% of the names on there are Irish names. During World War I, over 30% of the names on the plaque in front of the courthouse are Irish names. So the Irish must have contributed a lot to the to Minnesota's defense of their of our nation. And as a young fellow growing up in Waseca, I've been thinking back the last few days, and the chief of police was Simon Connolly. And if you wanted to do some repair on your home, why, you could go to Gus Galligan. He ran the lumber yard. And if you needed finances, you could go to Frank Conway, who was the secretary of the Waseca Savings and Loan. And if you were in need of spirits, there was Barden and Barden's and McClune's in the liquor business. And if you got in trouble with the law, there were Moonen and Moonen and Gallagher, Madden and Gallagher. And you can go on and think of many of the prominent businessmen in my youth were Irish. So I feel that the Irish have contributed a lot to Waseca. In fact, Dr. Cale was the dentist, and you can go on and think of many people that were in the important, Dr. Gallagher.
Rick McDonough, sheriff.
Rick McDonough was sheriff. That was before my time, but
John McClellan was judge.
So I'll let. So the Irish were prominent in Waseca.
Well, I'll give you a little rundown, really, on how this Irish-American Club really started. It started, of course, when Pat O'Leary was here, and I'm sure you all know Pat. He would come down to the house at 5:30 in the morning. My wife usually had breakfast about that time. And, you know, he was there regular as alarm clock. If we overslept, he was pounding on the door for many mornings. But nevertheless, I'm real happy he did, because we're certainly real happy for our Irish American Club, and we're very proud of it. I have one little true story to tell you here, and then I will turn the mic over to Pat. And this was, many of you, I'm sure, remember Father Snyder. One morning, we used to have Mass at a quarter to eight down here at Sacred Heart. And my oldest boy was just about 2 or 3 years old, and him and I was going to quarter to eight Mass. And I drove up in front of the church, and Father Snyder come running out. At that time, he had the parish over in Deerfield. And he come running out, and he said, "Art, take me to Deerfield. My car won't start." So I said, "Okay." And so he got in, and we went out the Snake Trail and over to Deerfield, and he never said a word all the way over there. We pulled up in front of the church, and he said, "You know, there's only one difference in the way you drive and the way I drive." And I said, "What's that, Father?" He said, "I slow down for that one corner."
Well, I don't know how this is going to work out. I think we sang "When Irish Eyes Are Smiling" about 200,000 times yesterday. And I don't know what we could do Irish today that we didn't do yesterday. But I thought this would be a perfect fitting here in the parlor, that for "If you're Irish, come into me parlor, there's a welcome there for you. If your name is Timothy and Pat, as long as you come from Ireland, there's a welcome on the mat. If you come from The mountains of Moron or Killarney's lakes Forbes so blue. We'll sing for you and we'll make a fuss. Whoever you are, you're one of us. If you're Irish, this is the place for you. If you detect a little hoarseness in my voice, you're right, it is there. But I got to tell you this little story about Mike and Mary. Well, Mike was on his deathbed. He wasn't going to last very long, and Mary was sympathizing with him. And she says, "Mike, is there anything that I could be getting for you or anything that I could be doing?" "Ah, Mary," he says, "if I could just have one of those donuts that I smell of frying in the kitchen." "Oh, no, Mike, not one of them will you be getting. Them are for the week." And then there was this little old Irish lady that was going through Irish customs, you know. And the custom agent brings out this bottle of Irish whiskey. And he says, "Well, what's this?" Oh, Father," she said, "sir, that's holy water." "Holy water, is it?" He pulled off the cork and smelled of it. She said, "That's not holy water, that's whiskey." "Well, glory be to God, it's another miracle," he said. You tell me.
Well, this is one of Pat's favorites. Seemed like this fellow had just come over from Ireland, and they were asking him about all the trouble they were having over there now. And no, he said, "That nothing to it, not true at all." "Well," he says, "it's in the papers all the time that there's killings and shootings and troubles in Northern Ireland, and there must be something to it." No, there's nothing to it. He says, "That's all just British propaganda." And he says, "By the way, Mike," he says, "what do you do over in Ireland?" "Oh," he says, "I'm a tail gunner on a bakery truck."
And then there was Sister Agatha, you know. She inherited this $100 from a close friend of hers. And she went to Mother Superior and she says, "Mother, I don't need this money. I have no wants. I'm well taken care of here. I'm going down the street and give it to the first poor man that I see." So she goes down the street and she meets this ragged man in a tattered coat and hat. And she gives him the $100, said, "Godspeed." The next day there was a rap on the door. And this gentleman asked for Sister Agatha. She came to the door and he gave her $2,000. "Well, my glory be to God, what is this?" he said. "Well, Godspeed come in 100 to 1 and paid off." This isn't an Irish story, but it's a cute little story. I thought it's about when Christ was a little boy. He was out playing in the yard, and all at once he suddenly ran into St. Joseph's carpenter shop. And he says, "Dad, did you call me?" "Oh, no, son," he says, "I just hit my thumb with the hammer." And everything now is about this ecumenical movement, you know, which is a very good thing. And they say that the true sign of this ecumenical movement or spirit is when you see a Knight of Columbus drinking Mogan David wine out of a mason jar. Katie, don't you know an Irish story or something? I got to tell you this little incident I read in the paper just a couple of days ago, and it concerns George Washington. And it stated that George Washington, the father of our country, led the first St. Patrick's Day parade in Boston. It happened in 1776 when the American troops were overtaken in the city of Boston from the British. And the greatest number of his troops were Irish. So they designated that as the first St. Patrick's Day parade in the United States in 1776, and the father of our country, George Washington, led it. Well, if everybody had joined me, we could sing "When Irish Eyes Are Smiling" just one more time. You probably won't hear it again until next year. Everybody join in.
When Irish eyes are smiling, sure it's like a morning spring. With her lilt of Irish laughter, you can hear the angels sing. When Irish hearts are happy, all the world seems bright and gay. And when Irish eyes are smiling, sure they'll steal your heart away. And you, Bob and, Bob and Art here. We're just listening to Irish people in Waseca. And there's one grand old lady that we mustn't forget, and I was kind of hoping she'd be here today, and that's Nell McCarthy. Nell McCarthy is going to have a birthday the 30th of March, and I think she's going to be 98 years old. So I think it would be wonderful if everybody would send her a birthday card. She's a grand old lady, and I think she deserves it, anyone that lived that long. And Bob, do you think we should end this with a reading of this poem? It's... The name of it is Irish American. It, by the way, it's on the shamrocks. I am proud to be an American, and I am proud that I'm Irish too. For I love the wearing of the green, and I love the red, white, and blue. I love to watch the marchers as they go parading by, whether it's on St. Patrick's Day or on the 4th of July. And what could be more beautiful than a shamrock, goodness knows, unless your heart is captured by an American beauty rose. Hot dogs, yes, I love them, and watermelon too, but I'll always have an appetite for good old Irish stew. No, it isn't just the blarney when I proudly say it's true that my heart is pledged to America and to dear old Aaron too.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
No,
okay, thank you very much, gentlemen, and we wish that everyone had helped themselves to coffee and cookies. Thanks again.
Thank you much.
Is he still okay?
Ah, wonderful.
I'm visiting with Dorothy Foster, who has been always been so instrumental and past president of the Historical Society. And if you view the Historical Society, you can see the results of her handiwork. And Dorothy, did you like... this deal today, do you think it was worthwhile?
I think it was worthwhile. There always has to be a first, and I think today will bring forth more people for our next celebration that we set up. And I think really and truly we had quite a few people here today.
Well, I certainly happy with the turnout. Our next will be, as I understand it, May 16th. The board hasn't approved on it, but the Norwegians have set in the Mai, which is May 17th, and 16th is the closest Sunday, so I would imagine...
That should be a good Sunday, too.
And then I'm sure that you'll be very proud of Oktoberfest, won't you?
Yes, that should be mine.
Dorothy, we sure appreciate all the wonderful work you've done for the Society, and we hope 100 years from now when they open this or replay it that they'll know who Dorothy is.
All right. Thank you, Joe. Joy.
I'm talking with Mrs. John McClune, who originally was Miss Daly. She taught in our local school system for how long?
5 years.
Mm-hmm. And then who did
Then I married John McClune.
That old rascal came along and
she taught after she got married.
Yeah, I did. I taught them 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And you have
eight children,
mm-hmm. and they're all well and healthy, aren't they?
I think so.
Which is wonderful. Yeah, well, we had to.
They're spread all over the United States.
I wasn't aware that you were Irish, but we had to get you out of here anyway. Thank you. I'm now interviewing Mrs. Art Byron, who was one of the old settlers, I think, in the county of Waseca, the wife of Arthur Byron, deceased. What did you think of this occasion here today for the Irish?
Well, I thought it was great. In fact, any occasion for the Irish is great, as well as it is for any nationality.
Well, suppose. But a little more so for the Irish.
Well, naturally, I suppose so.
Oh, bless you.
Yes. Now,
speaking to Mrs. Arthur Byron, Robert Byron, pardon me, how did you like this affair here today honoring the Irish?
Very fine. It was very good.
And what was your maiden name?
Margaret Burns.
Margaret Burns. Well, that would be Irish, wouldn't it?
Your sister's.
Sure, I know it. That sounds quite Irish. Well, you don't know how happy it makes us to have you here. And this recording, along with the signature book, will go into the archives here with a note that we want them to play it back at the 100th year, so they'll know just what a good time the Irish in Wasika County had on this day. And I thank you.